Blog Talk Radio.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, greetings to you and yours. This is Holy Living Nutrition, where we discuss Christian-to-Christian hot topics to help you build your faith through the nourishment of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm your host, Dwayne Bradfield. Now, this is not a politically correct cookie-cutter program, so thick skin is required, but keep an open mind, and let's have some healthy discussions, amen? I'm excited today to speak to you about the Word of God, but no matter what I share, always remember what's my rule. It will always be rooted in the Bible, the human manual, the foundation that all believers must read and live by. So let's get started. On today's topic, we're talking about walking in the Holy Spirit or bus. And why is this such a hot topic? Well, because one of the things I've noticed is that you look at the attack that the Christian body is going on right now, right? Everywhere you look, people are attacking the Christian faith for whatever reason. But we shouldn't be surprised because that's how it was when this whole thing started, right? You know, you had this attack on the Christian faith, and then you come here to where we are right now, and it's starting. We're in the last days, so we should expect these type of trials and tribulations. The key is, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to just sit back and allow this to continue? Or are we going to put ourselves in a position to start speaking and confessing Jesus is Lord and putting ourselves in a position to start reaching those who might not fully understand what this whole Christian walk is about? But you can't do it alone. You have to be able to rely on walking in the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's not just about you saying you're a Christian. You have to put yourself in a position to have power. You know, you can't fight this good fight alone. You have to have the power of God to be able to help you make the right decisions and steer you away from strife. Remember, the devil doesn't sleep. He's like a lion, right? Waiting for someone to devour. He puts things in front of us that he knows will try to distract us from doing God's work. See, many believers, they go through their entire Christian lives and never understand the necessity of the Holy Spirit, right? The presence of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. Yet apart from the Holy Spirit, you and I simply cannot lead godly lives. We can't do it. It is His grace that empowers us to resist sin and obey the Father. See, the Spirit helps us interpret Scripture. It helps us interpret how to have fellowship with the Lord and how to be in our prayer language, right? Because without him, no one can have a genuinely fruitful and victorious Christian life. If you have your Bibles handy, I'd like you to turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Now, keep your Bibles here because we're going to come back to it. It's Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. In verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, let me change that a little bit so you can see the impact of what I'm trying to say here. When you talk about walking in the Spirit, that's of God. But when you talk about walking in the fulfillment of your lust, that's of Satan. So if I was to rephrase that and I was to say, and I'm going to rephrase that at different times during the show, walk in the Spirit is of God, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh is of Satan. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, right? Satan against God, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Our flesh wants us to do these things, but the Spirit tries to block that only way that it works is we obey what the Spirit is trying to help us to overcome. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law, in verse 18. In 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, right? It talks about that. You go down to 20, and it talks about idolatry, sorcery. You know, when I listen to Christians talk about what are my signs, and you're a Taurus, and I'm a Scorpio, and I listen to Christians talking about all of this, they think it's all fun and games. That's a part of all of that. That sorcery part, right? The spiritual world and that whole thing. Talks about the jealousies. Here's one that gets me. Outbursts of wrath, right? Sometimes that's, you know, being quick-tempered, right? Being quick to do something or say something that God and the Holy Spirit allowed me to overcome. In 21, it talks about envy, drunkenness, and the like. See? But I love the way it says in 21 how he wraps this up. After he names all these things that we're doing that's part of the lust of the flesh, being the master of Satan, right, being a part of that world, he says, of which I tell you before, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice, listen now, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about how you can't serve two masters. Are you serving Satan? Are you serving God? Or are you trying to be on the fence and serve both, right? You serve God up until Saturday night, right? You serve God until it's time to go out and get drunk with your buddies or chase down that girl you're not married to. The Holy Spirit helps to distract us from those things. But see, if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is, it's hard to follow something you don't understand. So who is this Holy Spirit? Well, it's a member of the Trinity. I mean, if you go to Matthew chapter 28, you can write these scriptures down as we go. In Matthew chapter 28 and in Acts chapter 5, it talks about the Holy Spirit as a member of the Trinity. You know, the Holy Spirit shows itself up as part of the Creator, the creation back in Genesis chapter 1, also in Job chapter 33. It describes the Holy Spirit as a person, not just an impersonal force like the Jehovah's Witnesses try to portray. I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. I remember hearing about it being an impersonal force. But see, if you turn out and see, I have their Bible, because I've had it for years, right? But when you read John chapter 2, chapter 14, verses 16 in their Bible, this is what it reads. Actually, let's go down to 26. So on, let's see here, 14, 26, it says, but the helper, so they don't call it the Holy Spirit, they don't call it the counselor, but the helper, the counselor, I'll accept that. But the helper, now this is in the New World Translation Bible, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one will teach you all things and bring back to your mind all things I told you. That's what it says in their book. Now, in our book, the Holy Bible, chapter 14, verses 26, this is what it reads. But the counselor, okay, they say helper, counselor, but you notice they do have Holy Spirit in the book. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So even though they have the scripture similar to what we say, let's not be mistaken. This is not an impersonal force. This is a person, a helper that's going to tell you. It already says the helper is going to remind you of things. An impersonal force can't do that. A person of thinking mind. When does he know how to remind you? Because he's with you. Because if you are a believer saved by grace, you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, right? You have Jesus with you. Now, he sees what you're doing. He knows when to remind you. That's thinking. It's not an impersonal force. So now that you get past that piece of it, what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives other than just reminding us, right? Well, we already talked about the fact that he teaches us. He reminds us of what we've learned. You can read that in John chapter 14. But it also seeks to testify about Jesus rather than himself. See, he's always bringing it back to Christ. But one of the most important things he does, friends, he convicts us of sin. He keeps us walking towards righteousness. He talks to us about judgment in John chapter 16, verses 8 through 13. He guides us into all truth, like Jesus explained. But he glorifies Christ as well. He dwells within every believer, right? He reveals the Lord's plan for us in Romans chapter 8. He assures us that we are children of God, right? He equips us with our spiritual gifts. He gives power, especially for evangelism. He intercedes for us, and most of all, he seals our salvation. Glory be to God. See, so what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? This phrase means to live each moment dependent on the Holy Spirit, sensitive to his voice, and obedient to him. See, when the Spirit speaks to your heart, you have to obey immediately, because delayed obedience is disobedience. When you're in that situation where you're about to go out and drink with your buddies and you hear the Holy Spirit telling you that's not a good idea, right? Or you find yourself in a position where you might end up taking a woman home that you're not married to. At the moment that you're sitting here contemplating that, is a decision where you're going, that delayed obedience, right? Delayed obedience is disobedience. See, sometimes, it will become clear why the Holy Spirit directs us one way and not another. Other times, we may never know why. I might not never know why I feel the Holy Spirit directed me into full-time ministry after my career started to take off in the secular world. I have no idea. All I know is I'm better off following him than not following him. I know that he made it clear through people that I never met that were saying things to me, and they were all saying the same things, and they didn't know each other, right? See, I know the Holy Spirit works, but you have to trust him. See, however the wise man or woman will obey the Spirit's voice, he knows all things. This is why it's important to follow what he's saying, because he's the beginning, right, the present and the future. See, including the future and his guidance is always for our benefit because he knows the future. So how can we win the spiritual battle? Well, at the end of the day, in Romans chapter 8, it says, for those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the flesh. Now, remember when I talked about Satan and God. So let's say the scripture again, and now you can see what this really means. The Holy Spirit will equip us to live godly lives if we focus on him. Romans 8, let's read that again. For those who are according to the flesh, their minds on Satan. And those who are according to the Spirit, set their minds on God. See how that works? See, believers, we have three enemies. We have the world. We have this sinful flesh that we have to deal with every day. And we also have the devil that's waiting to get his foot in the door, to have an opportunity to throw our lives in an uproar. See, but I hear people talking about the devil, this is the devil. The devil can't make God's children do anything. He can tempt us, and he will certainly try to do that, right? But we can resist sin by allowing the Spirit's power to work through us, because when you're walking in the Holy Spirit, right, the Holy Spirit will direct you from such things. The spiritual battle takes place on two fronts. It's playing in your mind, and it's dealing with your behavior. See, the mind governs how we speak, how we act, and how we handle different situations. If we lose that battle on one front, we also lose the battle on the other. If you lose the battle of the mind, your behavior follows. See, being a disciple of Jesus is apparent by a changed lifestyle. You're not a disciple if Galatians 5 applies to you when it comes to drunkenness and all the other things that explain. Go back and read that chapter again. those verses and starting in chapter 6 of Galatians 5, verse 16, right? Only you and God knows that answer. See, you can fool us, and we can walk around trying to fool each other, but at the end of the day, right, only you and God knows on Saturday night what you're going to do tonight, right? Are you going to be in a position where you're going to put yourself in surrender to God, or are you going to jump masters, right? You're going to jump masters, and you're going to go from God, and you're going to play in Satan's world tonight. See, the reason why I'm so straightforward is because we know that's the reality. These are the things that pastors and things won't say in the pulpit for whatever reason, right? But see, you have to have someone. And I listen to all these different pastors bringing it up and these evangelists. But let's keep it real, right? Because it gets to the end of the day that you can't serve two masters. Either you are serving one, you serve the other. You're going to serve God up till Saturday night and then go out and get drunk with your boys? Or go sleep with this woman, or sleeping with this woman you're not married to? Look, we've all been there. I'm not throwing stones. What I'm trying to say is it comes a time when we have to graduate from being infants in Christ and start to mature and start taking this thing a little bit more seriously. See, we must set our minds on obedience to God. See, then we can win the battle against this sin. Spirit will speak to our hearts and warn us when we have stumbled into something wrong. At that moment, we must choose to obey. See? If you are a confessing Christian, but still allowing Galatians 5 to play a role in your life, then you what we call, and what I heard Paul say, right, we all know this, infants in Christ. Excuse me. And that's all right. If that's where you are, because everybody was there at one point, but it comes a time when you have to graduate from a believer to a disciple. Paul said, I gave you milk because you were not ready for solid foods. It comes a time when you have to graduate, right? Have you ever noticed at the mall how cute infants look when they're in their little strollers all cuddled in and they're drinking their milk bottles? And, you know, my wife will walk by and we go, and people will say, oh, that's so cute. Have you ever noticed the look a person gets when their five-year-old is walking around with a milk bottle in their mouth after pointing out toys to their parents to buy? And you might say, man, that kid's a little big for a milk bottle, don't you think? You might say it to yourself, right? See, that's how it is with this whole Christian thing. It comes a point where you've been going to church and worshiping God for so long that you said you have to start thinking, why are you still drinking milk, right? See, it comes a time when you have to graduate from the bottle and start eating solid foods, from just being a fan of Jesus Christ to a follower, graduate to a follower of Jesus Christ, from a believer in God and graduating to a disciple by walking in the Spirit. See, it's Holy Spirit or bust. There's no one way about it. Because if you're not walking in the Spirit, you don't have the power to say you're a Christian and fight the principalities of this world. We do not have the power in ourselves to fight against Galatians chapter 5 without walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why the lust of the flesh controls us. Because if you have no supernatural power, see, the Holy Spirit provides the power that we don't have in itself. Scripture refers to the importance of being mentally prepared for spiritual battle. First Peter, right? In Peter, chapter 1, 13, it says, prepare your mind for actions. In Colossians, chapter 3 and 2, it says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Setting our minds on spiritual things must be done on a daily basis. Each morning I surrender to God, and I ask him to give me the strength and guidance I need for the day. I have to do that when I wake up. I have to set my day, because Sunday is not enough to last you throughout the week. It's a daily battle, a daily battle. So when that Saturday comes back around, you don't have to worry about going into Sunday, confessing your sins, and crying out to the Lord of what you did the night before. You go into Saturday night with a mindset that I'm going to do the things of God, right? The former things have passed away. See? Surrender to God and ask Him for strength and guidance for the day. See? When you get to a point, right, you have to say to yourself, apart from Him, we are inadequate to do anything of real value. We're sinners. With Him, we can experience spiritual victory. No matter how weak we are, no matter how unimportant we feel. I mean, at the end of the day, do you want to live a real peaceful life, right? Have the power to overcome the temptation that keeps trapping us week after week? Have contentment and joy in our lives? Then you have to walk in the Holy Spirit. I mean, do you want to have the power to overcome temptation, right, and be able to get through adversity? This kind of victorious living is found only through total surrender and obedience to the Holy Spirit. Without it, you're simply fooling yourself. You're simply fooling yourself into believing that going to church on Sunday and occasionally reading the Bible is okay, and not falling to your knees and confessing to our Lord and Savior and putting yourself in a position to pray to Him in a way that would translate you into a whole other hemisphere. Stop playing yourself into thinking that you can be a follower of Jesus Christ without walking in the Spirit. Set your mind on the things of God and trust and indwell in the Spirit to guide you, enable you, empower you to obey His voice. When we remain sensitive to the Spirit's guidance, dependent upon Him totally, and obey, we experience life at its very best. It is for us to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes and to witness for Jesus Christ. The reason why people don't want to witness for Him, they're not walking in the Spirit. Because if they was walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit would direct you that way. I said this before, right? It's not like you have to have a spiritual gift to share the gospel. You might have the spiritual gift of evangelism or going into pastorship, but the Great Commission is everyone who confessed to be a disciple of Jesus Christ should be sharing the gospel with everyone. Key people. And in Acts chapter 1, it talks about the word but in Acts chapter 1 is like a hinge, right? Because at that point, Jesus makes that but, right? He makes that sound. It's for us to receive the power of the Holy Spirit comes and to witness for Jesus, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. The word but, right? That hinge. In that one word, Jesus turns our thoughts from God's business to our business. See? When is it our business? Okay, when are you going to do your part? When are we going to do our part to be witnesses? I mean, what do witnesses do? Faithful witnesses tell what they know about something, but they're not required to be experts. They simply describe what they saw, what they heard, and what they experienced. As Christians, can we describe what we saw and what we heard and what we experienced and what our experiences were when we met Jesus, when Jesus expressed Himself and revealed Himself to us? As Christians, we are witnesses that Jesus has risen from the dead. We are witnesses that He has saved us from sin. Our main business is to tell others about what He's done for us. Believe we should never be afraid to witness for Jesus when you're walking in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit would always direct you what to say at the moment and time. When you're having problems with that, that's because you're walking in the flesh. You're more concerned about how you're being inadequate versus releasing everything and trusting Him. It takes more than obligation or desire to be a faithful witness for Jesus. Witnessing requires spiritual power, and you get that by walking in the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, right, and putting yourself in a position to listen to Him. Only one kind of power will enable a Christian, right, enable a Christian to be a faithful witness, and that comes with the power from the Holy Spirit. Walking in the Holy Spirit. Putting yourself in a position to surrender to Him. Going to your prayer closet and pray to Him. I hear people tell me about their problems all the time, and I say to myself, and I told them this, have you prayed yet? Why is prayer the last resort? You pray to Him, and you get into your prayer language with Him, and you put yourself in a position where it's you and Him one-on-one. Tell about anybody else. Take the time to pray to God when nobody else is around, and it's just you and Him, and you can release yourself to Him. Release yourself to Him and pray that prayer, right? That prayer, that language that just lifts your soul when the Holy Spirit intercedes for you. It's a wonderful thing. And if you have not been there yet, I encourage you, before you denounce something you don't understand, right, give it to the Lord. Surrender to Him fully. We're just you and Him. Because then there's nobody to impress. There's no one to have to impress. There's no one you have to reveal anything to. It's just between you and Him. Because when it's revealed between you and Him, right, wow, that's powerful. See? It's not something you have to go run around and explain. Because when you know, you know. Don't fool yourself, right? You don't fool yourself. Praying in your prayer language edifies your soul. See? And if you have not done that yet, ask the Holy Spirit. Go to the Lord. Father, I'm surrendering myself to you. I want that intimacy with you. Paul talks about, I'd rather you prophesy. Versus 10,000 words in a tongue. And I agree with him. Because speaking in tongues when you're around other folks and you're in a position where they don't understand, are you edifying them? I'd rather you prophesy into their life where they say, how did you know that about me? Right? But see, we're talking about walking in the Spirit. This is a personal journey. This is a journey that you want to walk with Him and have that Holy Spirit living within you. It's not about fear to God. The Bible says that we have the principalities of this world. It's spiritual world warfare. We can't fight that. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. Why do you think Christians backslide? Because sometimes we slip up. We're human. We're sinful. And we need the Holy Spirit to rebound. Confess your sins. Dust the sand off of you after you fail, get up and keep walking. Because at the end of the day, it's about you having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. In saying that, you know that, you know, we have to decide, are we fans of Jesus Christ or are we going to become followers of Jesus Christ? Are we going to stay just believers in God? We're disciples walking in the Spirit. God wants us to live successful Christian lives. I always say, right, and I'm always quoting Steve Sampson because I love this quote, God's desire is to dethrone us from the center of our own lives and focus on Him so we can be successful in everything we do. Until next time, I'm your host, Dwayne Bradfield. God bless you. See you next week.
G-O-D. God, homie. K-J on the mic. B-flat on the track. G-O-D. Inside of me.